In the blue jean 70s, nothing could be more out of place than a dapper, tuxedo-clad singer fronting a band dressed in satin and leather. But Roxy Music decided to make the rules, both musically and stylistically. And rock historian Ed Ward says they're one of the few bands from their time who are still listened to seriously today.
I've been arguing recently with somebody who asked me to write a piece about 70s music and then didn't like the tack I took, namely that the music was garbage, but some of it was wonderful garbage. What were you listening to back then, he asked me, and I told him soul music and bands nobody else listened to, like Roxy Music. There, at least, we had something in common. Roxy Music was the weirdos band, one that pushed a confusing mixture of images into an uncomfortable package and then coated it with gorgeous, seductive, but slightly off-kilter music. The band was the brainchild of a young teacher from Newcastle, England, Brian Ferry, who said the group's name was an homage to the showbiz grandeur he'd experienced at the movies as a child. In 1972, Ferry gathered several musicians from London's art rock scene together, and they released their first single, Virginia Plain. The song was a smash in England. Over here, Warner Brothers sort of snuck the album out, confused by the band's image. Ferry, looking like a 50s greaser decked out for Carnival, guitarist Phil Manzanera trying not to look like a hippie, and a wraith-like being known only as Eno. But a cult was forming in America, and in Britain, they were full-fledged pop stars. Their second album saw them focused and with much better songs.
There's a new sensation. A fabulous creation. A danceable solution to teenage revolution. Do the strand love when you feel love. It's the new way. And that's why we say, do the strand. On the tables, quackly was place on Mabel's. Slow and gentle, sentimental, all style served here. Louis says he prefers laissez-faire's grand.
In 1973, music like this, experimental but with firmly held pop values, was nothing short of miraculous. But Roxy Music hadn't hit its stride yet. Later in the year, another album, Stranded, appeared. The mysterious Eno was gone, soon to reappear as a songwriter and experimental composer, and, later, producer of such acts as U2. In his place was Eddie Jobson, another of the London art rock crowd. But the band was still Ferry's vision. Songs like Street Life caught the ear of FM disc jockeys and rock critics alike, and pretty soon the band attempted something of an American tour. Record buyers, at least in America, couldn't be bothered, but at least Roxy was getting airplay, and they were still huge in England. With their next album, they did everything right.
The sky is dark, the wind is cold, the night is young before it's old.
Country Life had it all. Great songs, a radio-friendly sound, and big-time controversy. Roxy had always had fashion models on their covers. Ferry was involved with Jerry Hall before Mick Jagger was. And on this cover, two women in their underwear stood before some cedar bushes. The underwear, though, was very transparent, and the record company insisted on airbrushing. Country Life was Roxy's first top 40 album in this country. The big problem was, Roxy Music had always been more of a project than a band. They went through bass players and drummers like Spinal Tap, and both saxophonist Andy McKay and guitarist Phil Manzanera had outside projects. Brian Ferry, then, took this moment to announce that he was going to concentrate on his solo career, which he'd been precariously balancing alongside the band from the start, recording his own eccentric versions of other people's songs. What this did was freeze the size of Roxy's following. It never got much bigger, nor did it get much smaller. Their output got peripatetic, and they did have a U.S. hit, finally, in 1975, with Love is the Drug, with Ferry solo projects and Roxy albums alternating to the present day. But even though they settled into formula, Roxy Music had had a huge influence on the coming punk and new wave generation. It's impossible to imagine R.E.M. and Depeche Mode, for instance, without them. Like I said, music for weirdos.
Ed Ward writes for the Austin Chronicle.